everybody. Welcome back to the Edge Radio Broadcast. On our Newsmakers line, we have David Ills. David, welcome to the show.
Hello. God bless you.
Hey, David, now you wrote a few books on end time prophecies. Why don't we get right into it? What were the name of these books?
Well, the one I'm writing right now is called Hidden Manna for the End Times.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect it to really be a shaking book. The Lord's been giving me word knowledge and wisdom for over 30 years. And I've spent a lot of time in study and listening to the Lord and basically ignoring a lot of tradition that's been flying around me. And I think it's going to be a very, very important book.
Wow. So you say that God has given you information on to write a book?
Yes. As a matter of fact, about 30 years ago, a little more than 30 years ago, I started getting word of knowledge. It was very strange to me because I'd never even heard of it. But the Lord just started speaking to me revelations of the end time. And ever since then, He's been doing that. It's not that I in particularly always study the end time. I study more discipleship. But the Lord would just speak to me. And when I'd go looking for that, He'd speak to me again. And He's just been doing that, telling me the things that are coming to pass. And been doing a lot of tours across the United States and sharing these revelations. And it seems to be, people seem to be excited about it.
Yeah. You know? Well, when you're talking about end times, what exactly are you talking about? Are you talking about the end of time, the end of the earth, the end of the universe? What?
Well, the Bible prophetic last 7 days or 7 years, plus the year that follows, the great and terrible day of the Lord, that basically is a lot of what the Lord's been giving me revelation upon, what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I've been saying some things for a long, long time, and they're starting to come to pass, and people are starting to listen. And because for a long time it seems like I was a pretty lonely voice on some of the things I was saying, mm-hmm. but the Lord is bringing them to pass.
Well, somebody must be listening to you, because the reason you're on the Edge Radio broadcast is because several people recommended you as a guest. And every week when I start the show, I let everybody know that if they have a guest that needs to be on the Edge Radio broadcast, to send them in, your name just kept popping in our inbox. We've got to get this guy on. So you're evidently, what you have to say is getting out there. And but what you're saying is the confirmation of what you've been given supernaturally is being confirmed in other ways.
Yes. Yes, the Lord's always given me signs, given me dreams, given me visions, given me word of knowledge and wisdom. He generally speaks something to me, and then He shows me how to prove it in the Scriptures, because I don't really trust in it. In fact, the first revelation I got was on the end times and about the church and what was going to happen as far as the rapture and things like that. There was a big argument over that in the church I was going to at the time, and the Lord just totally straightened it out in one moment. I sat down to pray. I said, Lord, I know Your word doesn't contradict itself, and I'm just asking You to show me. And it was just like an instantaneous pouring into my head, a revelation. All the verses fit together in just one moment. And I mm-hmm. thought, wow, I never had anything like that happen. So mm-hmm. actually I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, if this is the truth, I want You to confirm it to me. I want You to send somebody to tell me exactly what You told me.
Mm-hmm.
And He actually did that. It was a man several cities away down the interstate, and the Lord told him to get on the interstate. He did. He started coming towards my house. Of course, he didn't know me, didn't know why he was going or where he was going, but on his trip, he saw a vision of a street sign. And the street sign had the route number on it. It had my name, and it had so many miles to my house, literally. And when he came to Baton Rouge, which is where I lived, of course, you still couldn't tell from that how to get to my house. And Baton Rouge is just full of churches, you know. So his wife asked if they could go to a certain kind of church. And he said, oh, I don't like to go to those churches. They're kind of, you know, Pharisaical, which was very true. So they ended up at my church. Can you imagine? And a bunch of the brethren took him aside to try to convert him to their kind of thinking. And lo and behold, he started telling them the same story I told them the week before. And so they called me up and said, you need to talk to this guy. He's telling us the same thing you told us last week when we told you you were crazy.
You know, I'm looking here on Amazon.com. I see a number of books by David Ells. Did you write Signs and Wonders Through You?
Yes.
And
yes.
Sovereign God For Us and Through Us?
Yes, uh-huh.
That's you, huh?
Yes, that's me.
All right. You wrote a number of books. So.
And also, we by the way, give those books away on my site.
Mm-hmm.
And some people give a contribution, and that's fine. But the Lord's been keeping us going so far.
Yeah.
So.
What is your website, Dan?
It's America's, with an S, americaslastdays.com.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. I've heard a number of guests have said that they believe that America's in her final days. What when you say that you hear God speaks to you, is it because you are a righteous person, or you are a holy man, or how do you get these revelations?
Well, I've known God to speak to lost people because they're just chosen of Him, and even if one day they will come to Him, they could hear Him and they could see dreams and visions. But in general, if a person's not walking with the Lord, they're not likely to hear Him very much. And I have, from the very beginning, received a gift from God to hunger and thirst after Him. He just put it in my heart. I've been extremely studious, which was totally out of character for me, because although I made it through high school and didn't flunk anything, I really didn't have an interest in studying anything.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly when I got saved, I just had a consuming interest to read the Bible, and when I picked it up, it was actually the first book I'd ever read like that. I just couldn't put it down. Mm-hmm. And I haven't till this day. And I considered a gift from God to do that. But not only that, He speaks in my spirit when I do read it, and leads me to different parts of the Scriptures and speaks revelations to me that are just as exciting to me as they are to anybody else. It's not because of my great wisdom, I can assure you. Like I said, I wasn't a particularly studious person, nor was I the smartest member of my family. In fact, I was probably the black sheep of my family, because I just liked enjoying myself and enjoying the world, and wasn't really interested in being ruled over by God in particular. So when the Lord did save me, He did put that gift on me to be extremely studious, and everybody around me thought, that I had snapped,
Mm-hmm.
And but the Lord was speaking to me, and like I was saying about this man that came all the way across the country and ended up at my house, He shared with me the exact same revelation the Lord had shared with me about the end times and what was
mm-hmm.
going to happen.
Yeah.
And He's been building on that ever since. I mean, I learned to trust in what He said to me, because He always backs it up with Scripture, and I'm always able to prove it all the way through the Scriptures. So
mm-hmm.
that's what I trust in. I don't trust in voices. I've known people that heard voices, but that they proclaimed to be the voice of God, but
mm-hmm.
I always try to make sure it aligns up with the Scriptures, and
mm-hmm.
if it doesn't, I don't trust it. So
when you're talking about America's last days, are you talking about a nuclear holocaust? Are you talking about internal strife, missiles over the Arctic, or what are you saying?
Well, we're about to start, before very long, the last 7 days before the whole world is in a nuclear war that many people identify as Armageddon. During that time is when America is going to fall. I know a lot of people would disagree with me on that, but I've been able to prove it from the Scriptures, right down to the day from when the tribulation starts, when America's actually going to get hit. And from here until then, America's going to be hit. And the purpose for this, God's got a purpose in it too. The purpose is to bring His people back to repentance. And history just keeps repeating itself. There's been seven world ruling empires that have all, strangely enough, conquered God's people. Egypt and Assyria and Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome, they've all, even if God's people at the time was just tiny little Israel, they all conquered God's people. And it's kind of strange that the thing is that God always raises up a kingdom to chasten His people when they're going their own way and doing their own things and not submitting to His word. And right now, God is raising up another beast kingdom to come against His people. I know that most of God's people think that they're going to escape that, but history repeats itself, and the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. So said the Lord through Solomon. in Ecclesiastes 1 and 9. So history just repeats itself so that people will understand that there's only one mind ruling everything, and that's God Almighty.
Well, David, who are you saying that's God's people? Is that the Israelites? Is that Christians? Is it Muslims? Who are God's people?
Well, up until the New Testament, Israel, natural Israel, was God's people. But in the New Testament, the Lord broke off unbelieving Jews, not all Jews, but unbelieving Jews, and he grafted in the church, according to Romans chapter 11. So at the time of the New Testament, it was a new covenant. It was made with what you might call spiritual Jews, not physical Jews. And God's people are those in the New Testament who are born again, according to what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. And a born-again person is one who's had an experience like I received over 30 years ago that totally changed my life and interests as far as desiring to please God, love God, seek it, His will, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it's no different. God's people are known of Him, and they know Him. So,
David, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you prove to me the existence of God?
If you want a scientific proof?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'll share a scientific proof with you. The biggest proof, of course, is what he's done in my life. To me, it's the biggest miracle. But there is a scientific proof that sticks out in my mind since you asked that. I discovered that the whole Bible, for instance, is actually written in numbers, because both the Greeks and the Hebrews used their letters also to write numbers. And it's more intricate than Roman numerals, for instance. So actually, a man back in the beginning of the 1900s, his name was Ivan Panin. He came from the Soviet Union to the United States. He was a mathematician by trade. And he knew that the Bible, that the Greek New Testament and Hebrew Old Testament, they also used their letters to write numbers, so he converted the Bible over into numbers. It's very simple. It's a fact that it's there. Then he discovered there was patterns going all the way through the Bibles, patterns on top of patterns on top of patterns. The most modern thing that people align with that is the Bible code. However, what I'm talking about is the original Bible code that was discovered by Ivan Panin. And in it, it's much more intricate than the Bible codes that people are finding today. Actually, every letter has its place in this pattern. If you take one letter out of a text or add one letter to the original, only the original text, it ruins the pattern in that text. So every sentence, every jot, every tittle of the original God-spoken word, if you add to it or take from it, you destroy that pattern in that text. So what they've done, what Ivan Panin started doing, and it took him 50 years of his life, was to find out which texts and where this pattern was. So he would take the most ancient manuscripts and convert them over into numbers and find out where the pattern was in each manuscript, and where he found the pattern, he would put that into one common text until he came up with the original Greek New Testament. Now people say, hey, we don't have an original. We don't have anything original that was written by the apostles, but that's not true. We have a copy of the original, and it's come through the system of numerics. God fixed the Bible where man couldn't add one letter or take away one letter from the original anointed word without ruining that pattern. So he fixed it so we could always go back to the original. There is no other writing in the world, no other Greek or Hebrew writing in the world that has this system of patterns of numbers and divisibilities one on top of the other. There's nothing else that they've ever discovered or ever found like that. In fact, Ivan Panin traveled the country for some years challenging the leading skeptics and leading people that made their living speaking against Christianity and the Bible. Atheists and so on and so forth, he challenged them to debate him. And once they found out what he had, nobody would debate him. He offered, I think it was $1,000 reward, and that time it was a lot of money, to anybody that could disprove that one mind wrote the Bible. Matter of fact, his pattern proved that even though there were 66 books, that all of those books fit together in the pattern. And it showed the exact order of the books. It also proved that either all of the writers, all the people who were used to pen the Bible, either all of them were sitting at the same table with the knowledge of everybody else's pattern before they wrote their part, or else one man wrote the Bible. And actually he proved that by math, which is the most exact science out there, that there's no other way. One mind wrote the Bible because over 1,600 years, people that wrote it, penned it, all of the men that were used to do it, they didn't know one another. They were in different ages, you know.
Well, where are these? Where is this manuscript you talk about?
Well, on my site, by the way, I think the name of the article, if I'm not mistaken, is Science Proves the Bible, or Numerics and the Bible. Hold on just a second, I'll let you know. I have the manuscript, let's see here. Okay, Numerics Proves the True Bible. And there's another article there called Numerics and the KJV. So what this proves is which manuscripts are right, where they're right, where they're wrong. It puts the right parts of the right manuscripts together, because every manuscript was copied by someone. And obviously people made mistakes when they copied them. But every manuscript had parts in it that were perfectly correct and right. And the numeric pattern is able to show us which parts are right, which parts are wrong, put the right parts together, and end up with the original. Because the pattern has the mind of God in it. He put it there on purpose so that we couldn't add to or take away from his words.
From your website, America's Last Days, I'm looking at it. Which is the link on your homepage to look at that?
Revelations and Teaching.
Okay. Okay, go on that link there. Okay.
In fact, the first teaching there is on Numerics Proves the True Bible. Numerics.
Got it.
And it is astounding. It's an astounding miracle of God. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, when people read it, they're, unless they're just totally hopeless, they can see that only God Almighty could have written that book.
Okay, all right, so that's what it was, folks. I asked him for the proof, and he says because an incredible mind wrote Numerics into the Bible that could not have been done humanly, is what you're saying.
Yes, it couldn't be done humanly because if it was done humanly, all of the people who were used to pen the Bible would have had to write their part last, mm-hmm. with the knowledge of the pattern of everyone else's first.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And the patterns caused every book in the Bible, all 66 books, to fit together in the pattern, which makes you know that they were always planned to put in one book. Matter of fact, there are some books that, for instance, the Catholic Church put in the Bible, which are called the Apocrypha. They are Greek and Hebrew writings, too, but there's no numeric pattern in them. You see, and there's no other numeric pattern in anything but the 66 books created. There is no numeric pattern. Now, you can take War and Peace, of course, and get skip patterns in it, relatively short words, what they call skip sequences in it. Anything, you can find that by accident, short words, short phrases, so on and so forth. But the Bible, when you get the numeric pattern right, then you can see Bible code patterns, which are skip sequences. Now, skip sequences could be long sentences and long paragraphs of understanding and truths, which may have skip sequences of 2 words to 100 to 1,000 words, and yet there would be a message there. That, as a matter of fact, all of history is written in the Bible code. It had to be foreknown by God Almighty for him to put it there. To begin with, it can be found in these skip sequences. Wonderful revelations of history that are happening today have been there for thousands of years.
All right.
And probably a lot of the people in your audience have heard of the Bible code and studied it a little bit, you know, and seen the awesome things that are there. Well, they're there. I have my own Bible code software, and I've done some searching myself, and it's definitely there. I feel sorry for people to say it's not there.
David, let me ask you this. Last week we had a guest on, Bart Sebrell. He helped Fox Network make that video a couple of years back. Did we go to the moon? And then he produced another video called The Moon Hoax, where he has archival footage of NASA faking being halfway to the moon when they were actually in orbit. I've seen the video. But I notice on your website you have a link called My Vision of Going to the Moon. What's that all about?
Well, that's not a physical revelation. That's a spiritual revelation. That happened to me not too long ago. I woke up in the morning, and suddenly I saw a vision in front of my eyes. I was wide awake, and I saw myself being prepared and put in an astronaut suit to go to the moon. And I understood what the vision meant to me. You know how God speaks things to you because you can understand them because you've had past experiences like that. Well, the Lord had shown me that the Christian walk is, according to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, is a growing from glory to glory, the Bible calls it, in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. There are three glories of the Christian walk. There's a star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. And Paul spoke about that in 1 Corinthians 14. Star glory is where Christians start out. They're kind of got their own self-righteousness, and they have their own glory that keeps them separate from one another. But the Bible says if we become united with Christ in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in his resurrection. And the moon is only one. It's not many like the stars. It's only one. And it only reflects the light of the sun. And it is a dead star, so to speak. And so it represents the second stage in Christian growth, dying to self, so that we may reflect only the light of Jesus Christ, the sun. And then, of course, the third stage is sun glory. So when I got this, I asked the Lord, and the Lord answered me in the word of knowledge. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, does this mean that my spiritual death is coming soon? And the Lord told me, yes, that was true, that my spiritual death to self, basically is what he was meaning, was coming very soon. So he spoke to me in a language that I understood from my past experience, my studies in the Word, and so on and so forth. You know, the Bible says, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into the same image from glory to glory.
David, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen the, I'm sure you have, the Christmas Carol?
Yes, huh?
Okay. Remember when Scrooge says, how do I know that this vision I have isn't because of some spoiled piece of potato I ate last night? How do you know that you, and you know, not, don't take this the wrong way, but how do you know that these are things coming to you other than, say, just a regular dream that we all have? How do you know that God is impressing this on you versus something, you know, maybe your own regular old dream?
Well, I've had dreams that were physical and not spiritual. I've had dreams that were that they physically came to pass and they didn't need an interpretation. In the Bible, when you read about the dreams that are mentioned in the Bible, Joseph, for instance, and Daniel spoke of these dreams. They needed an interpretation because they were spiritual in nature. They were parables in nature. I've had those, and they really have spoken to me over the years. But I've also had physical dreams and visions of things that would come to pass and did come to pass. And so you begin to trust in these things. Part of the New Testament, by the way, for instance, in the book of Acts, is that God says that your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Acts chapter 2, he speaks about that. That was part of the New Covenant, and it was a promise to God's people that they would have dreams and visions.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Daniel, I've run into an awful lot of people who have told me that they thought they just had a pizza dream or something, and they begin to share it with me, and I said, oh, that symbolism is right in the Bible, and I'd take them to the Bible and show them, look, it's here. You know, I mean, it's already there. God is speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know that God is speaking to them in dreams and visions. I'm not doubting that some people are having pizza dreams, but in some cases, God is actually speaking to people, and they don't understand it. Matter of fact, the Bible does say very specifically, I'll read it to you, just a verse or two here. It says in Job 33, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, though man regardeth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of man, and sealeth their instructions, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword.
Let me ask you this, based on that, can you, before you go, before we all go to bed, can we ask for a dream or vision, or do they just come at random? We have no idea when they're coming.
Yes, you can. I've asked the Lord for dreams or visions, or prayed over my children that the Lord would give them dreams or visions, and he's done it. I'm not saying that that's going to happen with everybody, but in fact, over the years, I've had people tell me that they wish they had the gift to receive dreams and visions like I have, and I've prayed for them, and God has graciously given quite a few of them that gift. The thing is, God may have started to do this with a lot of people, but when they ignore the dream or they don't put any value upon it, then he doesn't want to speak uselessly to people, you know?
Yeah.
So when people find out that there is a value to their dreams, and that actually that they're biblical, and that God has promised to give them dreams, and like he said to Job here, though man regardeth it not, you know, he speaks once, yea, twice, in a dream or in a vision of the night. When they realize the value of it and they begin to pay attention to it, he actually begins to speak to them more often in the dream or the vision, because, you know, God doesn't want to waste his breath.
Well, somebody told me once that if God, the way to advance in your conversation with God is if he speaks a word to you, if you act on that word immediately, and then he'll give you two words and you act on that, and then he'll give you three, and then you can actually get up to a conversation. Does that sound plausible to you?
Well, I believe if you act on what God gives you, he'll give you more. The Bible says the path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. In other words, it shows you where you stand, but it also shows you where to go. And if you don't walk in the light, why should he put any more in your pathway? If you don't use what he gives you, he generally doesn't give you any more.
Yeah. David, as we were talking earlier, as you came on the air, we mentioned the fact that your website's called America's Last Days, and evidently you have some dreams and things of a terrible apocalypse sort of thing coming on the earth, particularly maybe even America. But have you actually ever diverted your travels as a result of a dream?
I'm living where I'm living right now as a result of quite a few dreams.
You moved? You moved to a location?
Yes, I'm living in Pensacola, Florida. I lived in Baton Rouge. I was shown a vision of the Lord that I would have a ministry in Pensacola, even though I didn't know anybody here. And I was given signs that led up to that move that happened exactly. Matter of fact, I told people around me things were going to happen. When they happened, the move happened and everything. I mean, for I think 7 years, I worked at Exxon for 20 years, Exxon Refinery in Baton Rouge for 20 years, and I told everybody out there that I was getting ready to take a severance and move to Florida because God showed it to me in a vision. Well, they all thought I was crazy because I was too young, but lo and behold, after I told them that, Exxon decided they were going to give a severance-type retirement to a lot of company employees in order to in order to hire cheaper contract labor. So I told them I was already ready to go, and when they offered it to me, I just took it. And matter of fact, the Lord did a miracle to make sure that I was able to do it. I mean, when I found out it was going to happen, I asked the Lord to give me enough money to buy a house and buy a car in Pensacola, and he did.
Okay.
He gave me the money to do it. Didn't cost me a thing. He bought this house I'm living in. He bought my car. He provided... A little guy that was a friend of mine actually had a vision of who lived in our neighborhood. He'd moved away for several years, and he told me his vision. He said, I came back to the neighborhood, David, and I saw you had a U-Haul packed up. In my vision, I saw you had a U-Haul backed up to your house, and we're moving. And I came over and talked to you in my vision, and you said, well, I'm moving to Florida, and I'm never going to work for man again. And I showed him my pension papers. Well, I hadn't seen the guy in years, like, 4 or 5 years. And suddenly, after the thing came through, and we had a U-Haul backed up to the door, he came for a visit.
Okay.
And the neighbor said, look over there, because he told the neighbor the dream too, the vision too. And he looked over there, and it's exactly what he'd seen. And he came over, and I showed him my papers, and I said, I'm moving to Florida. You know, things like that. I don't know how many dreams or visions from ourselves, from other people about us moving here.